brings me to your team.
What about it? What about it? Let's do it. What do you want to talk about?
What do you think about the
Lions? Mate, I thought they were outstanding. Mate.
And is the expectation seventh and taking 30 points against Leinster? Is that what we're about up north? And this guy came back as every keyboard warrior does. Thanks for responding, Mr. Mazzotti. What I was trying to say was, no, what you were trying to say was... Okay, Zals, as always on the show, we only back winners.
Mate.
Powder blue. A blow bull, yet ni fun di flute af ni. A blow bull, can he fun flute af ni. 9 from 10. We only back winners.
Mate, when we were at Loftus, I remember you cheering vociferously for the Stormers.
I know, mate.
I'm pretty sure it was you, mate.
I think Pink Nick glasses. And I and you were coaching them. We weren't cheering for them. But winners. We back winners here. And so we'll get to the Stormers later in the show. The Bulls peaking at the right time. Fourth place. Home quarter final. They play against Munster. It's a game you have to expect them to win. But we'll talk about that in a fortnight. It's been great chatting to you. Goodbye. And much love. Great weekend of rugby. Wonderful Jeopardy in the URC. We've got a big one coming up in the Investec Champions Cup. Bordeaux, Bordeaux-Bègles up against Leinster. And then the
where they play, mate? Where they play the match? Rocky Balboa.
Bilboa in Spain. It's not Rocky Balboa. Apparently, I got that wrong a few times. Nice to know you're listening. Nice to know you're watching. I feel so happy this morning, though, because no South African team can lose this weekend.
Oh, mate. You had to go there. Yeah, no, look, it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic round of Challenge Cup final, Champions Cup final, the best in Europe going head-to-head in the Champions Cup final, the best of the next tier going head-to-head in the Challenge Cup final. And I think it's going to be an epic event on both counts. And I think the European Cup competitions this season have been glorious to watch, especially as we've got to the business end of those competitions. And I think everybody's rubbing their hands to see, are we going to have some sort of a draw because two Titans are going head-to-head in the Champions Cup final? Is it going to come down to a kickoff? Can Bordeaux be stopped? Can Leinster be stopped? It's going to be wild.
Well, if you look at it from an international perspective, it would be like a World Cup quarterfinal, and we know France would win it against Ireland because they don't go beyond quarterfinals. But it is basically Ireland against France in many respects. It's Bordeaux against, and Bordeaux in form. Leinster haven't been at the greatest form, but hell, second in the table in the URC, and they're in a final of the Investec Champions Cup. Not too shabby a season. Most would take that, okay? Investec Champions Cup has been in the news for the last week. And some would say for all the wrong reasons, but also for all the right reasons, because maybe it's this kind of narrative that we finally needed in South Africa to awaken the club giants. Because all this talk that South Africa may pull out, the leadership of South African rugby may pull the four clubs out of the Investec Champions Cup because of player burnout, because of the travel schedule, because it's not making sense. And Johan Le Roux, Stormers owner, has come out and said, madness, we've got to stay in it. We want to be the best team in Europe. Marco Mazzotti came out and said, he's the owner of the Sharks, crazy, you don't want to be testing yourself in the Currie Cup. You've got to test yourself against the best. There's been unofficial word from the Bulls. The Lions haven't said much because, for the most, they've never played in it, okay? It's been those other three teams. However, and I love what they're saying because I'm a huge fan of the Investec Champions Cup and I don't believe we're that far off being very competitive. If you're going to blow the trumpet, Stormers and Sharks, of the Investec Champions Cup, then send your bloody strongest team overseas, win 4 from 4, host quarterfinals, host semifinals, and put yourself in a position to win it. And then maybe the public will also take it seriously.
Great shot, man. Can I ask you a question? Why do we have a salary cap on South Africa's teams? Because I think if we didn't have a salary cap, or if the salary cap was greater, maybe we have bigger squads and more talent and we can kind of campaign on multiple fronts with better players.
Okay, I'm also going to...
Is that a thing or no?
It's obviously, if you got more money, you can kind of cast your net wider. But let's take the 4G, 5G, 3G, 9G, 8G, whatever you want to call it, and let's park that to one side because we've been playing for 4 to 5 years
exactly.
on that.
Exactly.
So it's no longer an excuse.
Yeah.
And funny enough, when I see South African players go overseas and play for those clubs, they don't seem to struggle on those pitches either. So that's the one thing. Then we look at squad depth and where you can and you can't. Now, Bordeaux have won one Investec Champions Cup in the history of the tournament, and they're in a position to win a second one. This tournament is 31 years old, so it shows how hard it is to win it. Leinster have won four. It took them from 1996 to 2009 to win their first one, and they did it with a very strong generation of player.
Mm.
Toulouse, they've won it the most, but they win it every 5 years on average, and they've been traditionally one of the great teams in Europe.
Mm.
If you look at the South African contingent this year, the Bulls weren't far off from getting through against Glasgow. The Stormers were held up on the line to beat Toulon at the Stade Mahal. It could have comfortably been a Bulls and Stormers quarterfinal, them through to the semifinals. We saw Toulon go to Dublin and basically be a miracle pass away from knocking over Leinster. So we need to lose the mindset that we don't have depth, that we don't have the squads, and we need to actually understand it is a priority to win those league games. The Stormers were perfectly positioned, 2 from 2, played bloody well to beat Bayonne. They send over a mix-and-match team that hadn't played in 2 months. They take 61 points against a Harlequin side that's in disarray, and they end their round-robin with 3 wins from 4, but 9th in the placements. They win that game, they ride up there, and they host. And to me, that's the fundamental. If you're going to invest in this tournament, pick your best teams. It took Bordeaux a long time to realize that. In the last two seasons in the league stages, and they went 4 from 4 and 4 from 4, they played their best team and took a defeat or two defeats in the top 14 to make sure that they could back themselves to win a playoff in top 14 with their best side available. They just had to get to the top 14 playoffs.
Mm.
But to actually win this competition, to beat a Toulouse, you have to play them at home in a playoff.
Yeah.
And they got that right, and Leinster have got that right as well. So I hear what you're saying about we can't compete with the Euro or with the pound. But hell, when you look at some of those English clubs, and that they, you know, if you look at what Johan van Graan has done at Bath, good squad, but not superstars.
Mm.
It's not loaded with internationals.
Mm.
But he's got something right. He's got something right and kind of has got the trajectories there. But he also realized you pick your best team in the round robin.
Yeah. So anything I would say to that, I mean, I agree. The thing is there that you have to make a priority of the Champions Cup, which is what you're saying. And so you and I talked at length about how difficult it is to win the Champions Cup. You could argue it's harder than winning the URC in the sense that you've got to play the best clubs in the world all the time. You play some of them only away. And then you get to the knockout rounds and it's like heavyweights deluxe. So it is a difficult competition to win. From a South African perspective, you want to beat your South African cousins. That's the nature of it. You want to say we beat the Lions, the Bulls, et cetera, et cetera. So the focus is naturally on the URC as well. And so I think to be able to consistently put out a top quality team, you have to have the depth to do that because between injuries and fatigue, you can't always play your best players. And you also have to factor in that because geographically South Africa is so far from Europe, when we play away games against non-South African opponents, it's a long way to go. When the Irish play the Scottish or the Welsh, it's over the road. And when Bath has to play away games, it's over the road. So even their Champions Cup away games, they get on the bus for some of them. So I'm just saying, I agree with you. I feel like we need to have not necessarily more players, but have a bigger budget to make sure that the depth, the quality of that player who's second and third is much closer to who's starting than maybe what we've got right now. And I don't even know if that's feasible, but I would just think like, as a coach, I can understand why you're trying to stay top of the URC and be in contention there because a lot of your stakeholders are going to measure you against how did you do against your South African opponents. And in the European Champions Cup, you're maybe not always sort of going up against them.
Well, I mean, I saw the Bordeaux president last season, he felt that it was always top 14 is where they get measured till they won It's a Champions Cup. And he said he couldn't believe the global response.
Yeah.
The response from investors, the response from sponsors. Sure. You only know how good it is when you win it.
Mm. But how many teams win it? One.
Well, if our ambition is in South Africa to have a team that can win it, and if you look at the investment there has previously been from Mazzotti into the Sharks, I mean, he had built a team of Galacticos that were aiming to win it. They just fell horribly short because there was something a bit bigger for them. It's the concept of playing for the Springboks, and they're entrenched in that setup. So he bought Dad's Army. It didn't work out.
Mm.
The Stormers are building nicely. They're obviously quite a few stallions short, especially in the backs of being competitive. They need youngsters to come through, maybe one or two old hands to come back. And the Bulls, Jake was on the right path, but I think he got too many guys just past it to get in, because their Curry Cup side looks bloody good.
Mm. But yeah, that's a great shot.
But that's not a side that you're going to take to actually win the Investec Champions Cup. So to me, it's a mind shift change.
No, I agree.
It's a mentality change. And it's saying, if we're going to stay in this competition, which I believe we should, I love the fact that the Bulls play Leinster, play Toulouse, and the Stormers play Toulon, and you see the Lions in the
awesome.
East against Montpellier.
Awesome.
See the Sharks going up against a Bath or against a Northampton. I love that cross border cultural exchange as well. So I'm a huge fan, and I have been pre our introduction into the Investec Champions Cup. I just love that competition because it is the closest to Test rugby. It's a step up from URC in intensity and kind of magnitude of playoffs. And it's a great bridging gap for a national coach to look at players and say, if you can do it in that environment, you're probably going to be okay in a test environment. Mm. And for us to also understand that maybe 12 wins is going to get you a playoff, because consistently it shows you 10 gets you into the top 8 in URC, 12 gets you into the top 4.
Mm.
That's what you aim for in the beginning of the season. You get 13, you're probably going to top the table. Not this naive belief that we're going to try and win every game and be 15 from 18 and then sacrifice that competition.
Right.
Because the knock-on effect is, I go back to the Stormers, I feel so much changed in their season when they took that 61-10 against Harlequins. Just from a psychological point of view, they felt they had to get back on the bus very quickly. They came up against a fired-up Sharks team in a derby. They lost. They lost back-to-back. And all of a sudden, the 8 from 8 was gone, and they were in a crisis, 0 from 3.
Yeah, and I remember you were saying this at the time. This isn't in hindsight. At the time, you were saying this. Like, you cautioned about this. I remember this. So 100% on point.
Yeah, and we've seen the ebbs and flows and the momentum flows. The Bulls, 3 from 8, 20 points behind the Stormers after 8 matches. And everyone was saying, fire everyone. No one's any good. Why did they bring Pollard back? He's hardly playing. Huckers, is he the man? We kept on saying they will come. You were one of the biggest voices to say the Bulls will be there at the end, regardless. Obviously confident the Stormers would be there. We knew that the Sharks were in trouble, and we were hopeful for the Lions. But it's just, to me, we need to change our approach.
That's a good shot.
And we're doing the same thing week in and week out and getting no different a result.
Mm.
Which brings me to your team.
What about it? About them? What about it? Let's do it. What do you want to talk about?
What do you think about the
Lions? Mate, I thought they were outstanding. Oh, mate.
Has a team ever cocked up a game as much as the Lions did in against Munster?
Oh, I thought they, you know, and it was the same when they played Leinster. There's some really good stuff in there, but then it just kind of goes awry. I don't think the feast mode news in the week helped. I just hope, you know, for him personally, I hope that he can somehow get out of this thing and he appeals it and it goes away. That'd be fantastic. And I hope that the Lions can keep going forward, because they made great progress this season. They're doing great things. And they've got some really nice pieces. They've lost some important pieces, I suppose, to their plan to injury in recent weeks. And obviously, Asanati's ban or suspension, whatever. But I mean, they still came out fighting. And there were some great moments in there. They just couldn't finish it off.
Okay, let's talk about, because I've had this debate all weekend with many, many, many of my mates, okay? All three of them. And we are raving about the Lions, okay?
Yeah.
Their greatest Friday night. They qualified for their first ever URC playoffs without having to play.
Yeah.
They go out into a game where they've got absolutely no pressure on them. They're in the quarterfinals. What's going to change is whether they go to Pretoria to play the Bulls, or they travel overseas. No pressure on them. Munster are lying ninth by this stage. They have to win. They're in disarray. They've come off the back of a beating. Half the people at the club have been retrenched. There's financial woes. Everything's going on there. It looks like the fans voted with their with their feet, because many of them didn't even come to that game.
Yep.
They're down to 13 players at one stage, and they score against the Lions. And they hang on somehow, and they get every decision pretty much went their way, but they win the game, 24-17. How? And we are raving about the Lions, and we are condemning the Stormers. What a shocker. Third. Unacceptable. Great. Never going to win a title. All my words, by the way. But Chester's Lions are good, eh? They managed to end seventh. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah.
Sharks are coming. You know, they only ended 10th, but they're coming.
Yeah.
And the Bulls, we always knew they'd be there. So there is a bit of perspective around, if we want excellence in this country, we've got to be condemning that Lions performance and saying not good enough. Because you're going to get on a plane and waste your time, because you get blown away against Leinster in Dublin if you continue to play like that. Because it's great that they made the playoffs, but how much longer are they a youthful team? It's 5 years in.
Mate.
And is the expectation seventh and taking 30 points against Leinster? Is that what we're about up north?
Mate, relax, mate. Relax. Relax, mate.
A game of rugby, mate.
The more you're on that treadmill, mate, and that bicycle, the more aggressive you're getting, mate.
I found my neck and it's all over.
So listen, I think you are not comparing apples with apples. I think if the USA 4x100 meter relay team finishes third in the Olympics, mate, you have every reason to slam them, because they are perennial, or, you know, every tournament champions. And if Malta finishes fifth in the 4x100 meter relay, you've got to say, flipping amazing, Oaks. You've got a population of 2,000 people, and you even got to the final was just incredible. The Lions, it's not the same thing. They are, then. I mean, the Stormers are third and probably should have been second, maybe first, and the Lions have qualified for the playoffs for the first time. So you can't compare the two sides. Different echelons, I would say. It doesn't mean the Lions are a lesser team and can never beat the Stormers. They've proven they can beat the Stormers. But in terms of their history, I think you've got to cut them some slack, and you've got to say congratulations. As infuriating as it is to watch a team like the Lions slip up when they could have won, I think we've just got to give them a little bit more runway before we start saying, is this your standard? That's just my personal opinion.
Well, that's why you're here. Apparently it is their standard. Talking about standards, the Stormers let it slip. My beloved Stormers, who are always back, and they really irked me on Friday night. Well, they're still irking me on Saturday. And I've said it consistently, if you can't go to Belfast and beat an Ulster team that is out of the playoffs, and you can't beat a Cardiff team, you ain't going beyond the semi-finals in the tournament. And it was worst case scenario for me on Friday night, watching them and thinking, great pack, great 10, one of the best in the world. Damien Villens, we know his qualities. But just looking at them and thinking, how did you not create against a Cardiff team that has a minus points differential, has been decent at home, but not playing all the top teams, but was fighting to make the playoffs. And the Stormers were supposedly fighting to end, worst case scenario, second if they win that game, not knowing the result of Ulster against Glasgow. And Ulster pushed them right down to the last few minutes, could have potentially won that game. And what really, really got to me is when I saw Dobbo's post-match comments to say their desperation to make the playoffs was far greater than our desperation to host the playoffs in Cape Town. And I found that quite shocking. You don't have to respond, Zells. I'm just telling you, I found that quite shocking, because, my goodness, if you don't want to play playoffs at home, then what's the point? To me, it was an unacceptable performance. And you don't go and lose to Cardiff in the last league game when you can play top two and win titles. I know they'll pump Cardiff in the quarterfinals. I have very little hope if they do go to Dublin to get the win, based on what we've seen. Maybe things will change in the next 2 weeks. Maybe 15 of those a Leinster player is never leave Bilbao.
Bilbao.
And just for the guys out there, you know, you've got something to talk about. Go Rocky. Turn to the team.
Mate, let me just educate you. Cardiff is at 1,200 meters above sea level. The air is very thin there. It's very difficult to breathe, especially on a 5G pitch, mate, on a Friday night. So,
do you know what is a tough one? And obviously, I've been there, and it's a lovely equine little ground.
The jewel of Welsh rugby is a quaint little ground.
It is, because it's where the old Arms Park was. And next to it is the Principality, which is just magnificent. To me, the best rugby stadium in the world.
Good comeback, man. You saved it.
Without a doubt. No, but you come out of the Principality, and it looks like you've staggered over the car park. And you actually
in another stadium.
You're in the Arms Park. You think it's lawn bowls.
I love
it's
just
it. Beautiful.
I love it.
So I think what happens to our guys is they get there, they walk across from the Angel Hotel, and they think, why aren't they opening the gates? Were you playing over there?
Yeah, I thought we just doing the warm-up.
Yeah, it's like an indoor cricket facility. And so they struggle. And you know, a small little crowd packed in. You know, we get 25,000, feels like no one's at the DHL Stadium. They get 5,000, feels like you're playing 105,000. I don't dispute how hard it is to win there, but to win titles, you've got to go and win those games.
It's true.
It's true, man.
It's true what you say.
It's true, man. It's true.
No, it's true.
So I was, look, I will never give up on the Stormers because I love them. I adore them. It's like the Springboks. I never give up on them. But I was just very, very annoyed. And I'm sure I was just one of about 3 million Stormers supporters who were equally livid. And the only good thing that came from Friday night was Liverpool got smashed in a pretty much a similar fashion. And the Stormers lost. And then the Lions won without even having to play. They were already in the quarterfinals. It was one of those glorious, inglorious Friday evenings, because I knew Saturday and Sunday could only get better from a sporting perspective. And it did.
Mate, three quick wins and we're holding the trophy.
And it did. Fanta blow, believe me, funny flute of me. Yo!
Mate.
Mate. Powder blue.
That's not even powder blue.
It's baby blue.
It's turquoise, mate. That's Cardiff's colours.
It's baby blue.
I can't believe it.
I never back to Cardiff. The Bulls.
Oh.
Again.
Brilliant.
I just want to ask
Brilliant.
You, 26-5 up. Well, it went to 24, then it went back to 9, it went to 24, went back to 9, it went to 24. Eventually, they allowed Polo to take a conversion on the third attempt. Madness in terms of the officiating again. And then equally madness in the terms of how the Bulls with those little chip kicks just got Benetton back into the game with 14 quick points.
Yeah.
And then the Bulls ran away with it. But the Bulls, 99 points against the two Italian sides at the end. The Sharks, 96 points against the two Italian sides. Colasco and the two Italian sides, they know what it feels like to come to the Republic in the last two games of the season. How can it be that there's such a disparity in playing at home and playing away from home? Because if you look at Glasgow, they lost 54-12, I think it was, to the Lions, 42 points, and they beat the Lions by 42-0 at home. It's the corresponding fixture of the season before that.
That's exactly what I was saying.
How can there be an 84-point swing?
That's so what I was saying.
The Stormers did well to lose 85-6.
Exactly. You're on page. No, I think there is definitely something about playing away. And I don't know how much of that is like a rugby culture thing that people just accept. Like when you play away, it's going to be harder or something. I don't know if it's a mindset thing. There's obviously the lack of familiarity with the travel, the logistics, your prep going into a game, home comforts, all that sort of stuff. But it does feel like rugby, more than most other sports, has this home and away thing. I don't know whether the officiating changes, you know, if there's an edge in that. But definitely, I think there is something about being able to play away from home and win. And I mean, we saw it in Super Rugby. The South African teams just really struggled away from home. It was just how it was. The only teams that seemed to travel quite well in Super Rugby was the Kiwi sides, right? They could generally pox a win, and then in the heyday of the Brumbies, I suppose they could come and do a few things.
Not in Cape Town.
But
they did a few bars in Cape Town, but that was about it back in the day.
But so yeah, there is definitely something to that. I think the Bulls, I mean, the way that the schedule is run, and I just want to point this out, the Stormers did beat Benetton quite sort of emphatically in Benetton at Treviso earlier in the season. these two Italian sides came to the end of the season and had to travel away. And I think being out of playoff contention for most part, I mean, Zebre weren't at the races. I like that analogy. They weren't at the races the whole season. And so, yeah, they just got wiped. They got wiped here. And I think the motivation levels were low. They were away from home. And good for the Bulls for taking full advantage. Good for the Sharks for taking full advantage. And they've springboarded, the Bulls have, into a very favorable finish to the season. I think they're on a 6-win streak and looking really good.
Okay, looking at the Bulls, Akers, and, you know, we chatted to him pre the Stormers game. He looked confident. He said, we know who you guys are backing. We're in the hotel near the team room. We said, Akers, we're so happy that you've done so well. He said, no, you're not, basically. We know who you want to win today. It's the Stormers. And we said, no. We do. So, but one of the true gentlemen, and like, some would say that's a contradiction because he was a meanie when he was playing.
Yes.
Locked for the Bulls and the Springboks. But did fabulous things with the Lions. And when he took over from Jake White, it was disarray that he really inherited. I'm not saying that's because of Jake, by the way.
Yes.
Inherited a bit of a mess.
Mm.
Players coming back from the box, two assistant coaches who kind of felt they should have been in Chris Rousseau and Andres Becker, potentially the head coaches, not a new guy coming in. But you kept on saying it's coming. This guy's too good to fail. He needs to get his hands dirty. He needs to get his hands on that pack, which he's now done. He controls the pack, and he bought Neil DeBrayne in from Paul Boys High, and he's been outstanding with their attack. And Polly, obviously, just plays the big moments well, clutch moments. Willy Larooney's 400th game. Big shout out to
not a bad player
to Santaunt, yep. 400, and he was good. Great player to have there. They just got the makings of a side that potentially could go all the way because of the way they play as well. And the ability to strike. They've got some really, really good strikers out on the flanks, which unfortunately at the moment, a lot of the other South African teams don't have.
This is true, mate. This is true. And I just want to point out that what the Bulls have that a lot of other teams in the URC maybe don't have is depth. Like Cheswell Uster is a fantastic player. You know, he's just, every time he touches the ball, it's electric. You feel like he could score from anywhere. And he's a guy who's played behind at times Kanan Moody, Sebastian de Klerk, Davy Creel's moonlighted on the wing, Sergio Peterson's in the mix, Devin Williams is there, Willy LaRue is there, Andre Pollard's there. They've got like depth of talent across the park there to the point where like they're signing guys, you're thinking like, are these guys ever actually going to play? So they've got massive, massive stock there and they can probably absorb injuries or a lack of form. They can rotate a guy out and choose when and where they're going to play him. And I think that has played a big part. I'm taking nothing away from Akers. He's done a great job installing what he wants to do at the Bulls and getting them back to winning ways. And the likes of Imbros, Papir are thriving in it, playing their best rugby. So, but they do. I mean, a guy like Mpilo Gumede has to wait his chance to get on the field, and you know you've got quality in that roster. So lots of depth there, lots of quality in abundance. They've got the Highveld factor at home, which doesn't hurt if you use it correctly. And they've got a fervent support base. So they're doing great things. They're trending in the right direction, obviously. They're the hottest team, I think, going into the URC playoffs. And, you know, aside from the Stormers, obviously, all South Africans be rooting for the Bulls and for the Lions to do great things.
Well, that's very politically correct of you.
But
thank you.
It's
aangenaam. Dankie zelfs, ons waardeerde. I see the URC broadcasters have been superb again, giving the Bulls a 1 p.m. kickoff. I mean, no one will get to Loftus because they're all at the school's gate.
At the school's gate.
I said to Clint van der Berg, the brilliant communications manager at the Bulls, why didn't you guys play the curtain raiser to Afi's first team? On that day, and you'll probably get 25,000 acting at Uffies.
Yes.
And it'll be a wonderful occasion. You will smash Munster. Something to consider. Take it away from Loftus to Uffies. 1 o'clock kickoff in South Africa on a Saturday afternoon. It's ridiculous. It's madness. But apparently that's what happens with the broadcasters. We've spoken Lions, Stormers. We've tried to avoid, even though I couldn't. the Bulls, I'm trumpeting. The Sharks, 9 wins, a draw. They're in 10th place. They're on a high, having pumped the two Italian sides. Is it context? Is it let them enjoy it? Let the kids play. A lot easier to let the kids play when you are 10th and there's nothing on the line and you're playing a side that has conceded 550 points, has won 2 from 17 Zebre. What do you take out of that Sharks performance? There's a lot of feel good that's coming out of the camp at the moment, JP Peterson and the kids. What is the context?
This is the genesis, mate. JP's getting it right there. And how sustainable it is, I don't know. And we're going to find out. Anytime you have a new coach on the scene, you have to wait a while to see how he responds to teams kind of adjusting to how he coaches his side. But I'm sure JP's going to be great. I'll say it again. For me, maybe one of the most underrated players in Springbok history. I love JP Peterson. I think he was a cornerstone of that great Bok team that won the 2007 World Cup and was great in 2009. I think he's a fabulous rugby guy. He's a monster. You meet him in person, you think he's a lock. He did play a bit of lock as a youngster. And I think he's got a good rugby brand, and I think he's gutsy. He's a guy, you know, who took very limited opportunities and turned them into tries as a player, and I think he's going to do the same as a coach. So in his defense, he started playing the youngsters long before the season was officially over. He gave guys opportunities. Luan Guillaume is a great example of that. I think he identified quickly that they need to start finding answers at 10. They've had their own setbacks with injuries during the season. And they've obviously been carried in large part by Andre Estes and the hybrid, who's done a great job there as skipper. And then they've got a big Bok contingent that have been in and out of form, but kind of finished strong there. So I think JP's building something great there. I think the youngsters are going to be the future. I think, you know, see us signing off with a great game for the Sharks. I think it's the end of a chapter, and you're going to see some changes going forward. They've got the Chituka brothers there. I've spoken about how I think Manny's such a great player. Obviously, Vince, very good. And I think they've got the power base there to start dominating teams next season physically. And I think when they start adding some pieces in at 9 and 10 and 15 and get some better play out of those guys, you're going to see that power converted into points. And I think then they're going to be very dangerous. So I think they're trending in the right direction. I'm very excited to see how JP integrates Zeke Siaya and the rest of the youngsters there. And let's go. I think it was a great way to end the season when you... The best you could get out of that game is what they delivered. My Steko try of the week came out of that game.
We're going to get to that now, but I just a message here from Marco Mazzotti. Please tell
the
Zels.
Check in the post.
Please tell Zels he's got the job. So you'll be leaving the Stormers and off to the Sharks after that. That was incredible.
Oh, I love JP Peterson, mate. What a guy.
So, some guy put on X... Marco Mazzotti, that must be the worst investment anyone's ever made into the Sharks. What a joke. And then Marco Mazzotti responded to, it's the greatest investment I've ever made. We won 3 titles. I love the city of Durban, even though I live in the States. I am an old KZN old boy. This team's going to go on to great things. We've got a good coaching place. And this guy came back as every keyboard warrior does. Thanks for responding, Mr. Mazzotti. What I was trying to say was, no, what you were trying to say was, you're an asshole. That's what you were trying to say. So well done to Marco for getting on there and putting that clown in his place.
Man, I think the Sharks could have got to this point with having spent less money than they have, but they are at a good place now.
Well, it's taken them 4 years to realize they do have some very good, talented kids. The matter is picking them. Mm-hmm. And tell me what you think of the 18/19-year-old sensation, the young Christian Cullen at the back, who can play 10, 11, 14, 15. See, yeah. What do you make of him? Too much hype, or is he got an X factor?
No, look, mate, he's definitely got X factor. And I think you could probably say that about most of the exciting schoolboy players that come out of the schoolboy scene. He needs to be, I think, before you can make a final judgment call on anybody, you need to see him play a bit more. He's definitely got great feet. And what all of these young kids have got in abundance is confidence. They back themselves 100%. They're not second-guessing themselves. And they also are not creators that only come able to play on one side of the ball. Like, they get stuck in, they tackle, they're physical, punch above their weight. So very exciting prospect. I think maybe every time Zeke does something good, it maybe gets a bit hype because everyone's on the hype train, but certainly he's got some great, great raw tools to work with there, and he scored a fantastic try.
Well, he's in the national alignment camp. So Rassi Rasmus immediately said, listen, you've done some great things. I want to have a closer look at you.
Lovely.
As Tony Brown wants to have a closer look at him. But a guy that's just starting to get the old engine going, peaking to perfection. And that's the one thing I say about experience. Experience, when we look at we call them veterans, the guys who have played a lot of test matches. They've won World Cups. They know that the season is close to 30 games. You can't peak in all 30. And no one really remembers January, February, March when it comes to the Springboks. They remember May and June. Oxen chair. Eh? The tractor is starting to... the tractor is starting to plow a bit and plow properly. Yep. I mean, he's been good when he's played the season without being destructively dominant because he didn't have to be. But you just know that the test season's around the corner when you see Ox starting to flex that neck, those shoulders starting to bore in legally.
Man, he's playing some great rugby again. It was a nice little offload on the weekend. He's getting involved. I don't know if you know, when he was a youngster at primary school, he actually played fullback. But post-game, when you went to the canteen, they lined up for food from 1 to 15 and he made the switch, mate. Said, no, I'm a loose head prop. Yeah. Get to the front, I'll eat first.
Yeah, and tight head prop because you know what? They feed the front rankers and they don't feed the outside
backs.
There
you go.
But when he was playing for the Cheetahs, I thought he was playing 10. He was as good. He's probably their best 10 there.
Yeah.
We are going to be spending a good portion of Friday, this Friday, with Oxen Chair in Gauteng. I'm taking Zells on the big bird again. And we're probably going on the Gau train again. Yeah. This time Zells will lead me to the departure lounge. Is there a lounge? But we're going to spend some time with him. The cool thing there is any questions you have to ask Ox, I want to see them in these YouTube comments, or you can mail me keo@keo.co.za, or you can leave comments on any social forum. Jandre Joubert, our social media manager, will pick up anything Zelda and I don't, and we will put those questions to Oxen Chair. And on Monday's show, and we're going to be rolling it out for the best part of June, there will be quite a few inserts with the big guy, Oxen Chair, but we want to know what questions you want to have asked him, and we're going to ask them on your behalf. And then talking of Sharks, Andre the Giant, the ultimate hybro, the Steco hybrid power tool ambassador. And for me, as I always say, I would like to give him the award every week, the way he's led that young Shark side. But Andre Esterhazen and our show is never complete without a little visual and a little word from the big guy himself.
Some players choose a side. They've always said a back can never be a forward. But with Steco, Ryobi didn't just reinvent the rules. It changed the entire game. Hybrid tools for a hybrid craftsman. Steco, shaping the future. 40 years of Ryobi credibility.
Steco, one of our wonderful, wonderful partners.
Yes.
To Richard Stevens and his dad, John Stevens, ownership. Thank you for always investing with us from the beginning. You backed Zells when very few people did. You and Dobbo and Johan LaRue. Wonderful. You say it's coming out of a meaningless Sharks game. Come on.
Mate, what is going on with you today? All these bobs. Listen, I'll tell you right now who the Steco Hybrid Power Tools hero is this week. It should come as no surprise that the regular season ends with this guy as the man. It is none other than Andre Esterhazen, mate. The giant, the hybrid. He didn't score a try, but if you watched the game, mate, which I know you did, you always watch it twice in a row, his offloads made 2 try assists. I think he had 17 carries. He beat 10 defenders, 65% gain line. He was insane. The second of those try assists, mate, was one-handed out the back, no look to Ross Brody, the scrum off for a try. He was sensational, mate, and what a way to cap off the regular season.
Andre the Giant it is. I'm never going to argue against Andre the Giant, but just for purpose of record, I would like to put an honorable mention for Jandre Rudolph. He got a start. He hasn't had many starts in the last month because of the quality of loose forwards. When they got back to 26-19 Benetton, through no excellence of their own, through 2 poorly placed kicks, either side of halftime, they scored 14 points. They just started to believe, and an Italian rugby team that believes they can win is a dangerous one, or that they can play. And
write
they started
that down.
To believe that they could actually do something here. And I had visions of Rainbow Cup all over again and having to rewrite all the copy I'd written in that morning, knowing that the Bulls would get 5 points and end fourth. And then incredible turnover steal again. And he's the top jackal in the URC. And he hasn't played as many games as some others. Jan Pauli de Villiers is second to him. So they're in the top tier there. But I thought his turnover there, and then again, 5 minutes later, another steal, great offload. So he was always going to get an honorable mention. But you touched the heartstrings and you knew how to get me, mate.
And
you brought them out.
Here we go.
You say Andre the Giant, Azteco ambassador, but also he's done his sponsor proud. And I've really loved what he's done since he's been appointed captain of the Sharks. Another JP Peterson appointment before the season was done. He immediately made him the captain. And those youngsters seem to be thriving and reveling around him.
Mm.
And I really do like what JP's done with the Sharks. I know I kind of rag them, but there's just a joy about them at the moment. And yes, there was no pressure on them. They're already out. But it shows the quality of, we've seen their schoolboys do well. I mean, again, big wins when they play across, you know, province there this weekend. Their top schools won well against the Gauteng schools. DHS won well in KZN. There is great talent there. It's just pick them and give them a chance. And so yeah, to Andre Essone, to JP Peterson, to Marco Mazzotti, keep on playing your money in there, bud. But playing the Investec Champions Cup. We need a strong Sharks team to be playing there to be competitive, not in the Challenge Cup. Sorry, Mazzotti says I still don't. Okay, sorry,
check.
Marco.
There's only you. One chick.
Johan, I'm back with you. I'm back with the Stormers, okay? Bulls ownership obviously have no interest in me. And do I have an interest in the Lions?
Right. Yes, we do.
You do. You love to wear that jersey. We should also be in some new kit as well, as I told
you. Yes.
So Macron, Matt sent me, Russie Peterson, the main man from Macron, asked me like, how are you guys going for, he actually asked me, how are you? I said, we're not going well. We need more kit.
Every time he calls, it costs money.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why I hear from him once a year. Then they sent me a nice little catalog. What do you think of these 13 items? I said, I'll take them.
I thought we meant pick one.
Yeah, so hopefully all 13 items will be coming our way in beautiful colours. It's really a nice range.
I'm not so sure about that skirt though, mate. I don't think we can.
Nothing wrong with
it,
mate. Nothing wrong with it at all. Eh? This is 2026. We must cater for all preferences, okay? And I'm happy to be there. Happy to do that. So thanks to them as well. But then no show either would be complete without, and we're not talking Super Rugby, so don't worry about it. Go and watch the breakdown if you want to know about Super Rugby. We're not talking SA Cup because it's
Greek. What are we talking about?
It's Greek quiz against the Pumas.
Yes, that's and Los final. Pumas.
Yeah.
Got to vote for the Argentines.
Well, we are talking about his school rugby, mate. Give it to me. You've done your research.
Well, mate, you talked about KZN rugby, mate. For me, the match of the weekend, Durbanville drew with Tigerberg 64-64, mate. I don't know who the ref was. Maybe Bruce Fordyce. He must have been back and forth across that pitch. That's a ridiculous result if I read that correctly, mate.
I haven't had that one verified, so I'm not going to get too enthusiastic.
64-64 sounds like a hell of a game.
Someone had a 64-4 as well. I know they don't score 4 points yeah. anymore.
Yeah.
But the big ones there, obviously, Boys High beating Stellenberg 29-7, so they don't do the Wineland Slam. They were on their way to beating all three Stellenbosch and Paul big schools, so rugby order restored.
Mate, they say you're only as good as your last half, and apparently the Jade Brigade won the second half 7-5, so...
Well, they lost their game 29-7, but they've had an incredible season, only their second loss. And when I see who they're still to play, they won't be losing again.
No, they won't.
This will be their best ever season in 40 years. Uffies beat Grey College. 29 school games played there. In the open section, they've got 10 teams. And Uffies won 25 of the 29 games. Unheard of. And I think the worst results Grey College have had in the last 30 years. Imagine being that cycle of play. You'll always be remembered.
Steady there, mate.
Steady there, yes. Let's not let's keep on coming back. Keep on
stay
playing.
Positive.
Let's keep on playing. But I never expected it, I must tell you.
I never expected it.
I'm still expecting it.
So Salbon got a win. So Jake's obviously still there doing something. Just Weinberg Boys High, good win against Grey High. And then Hartsfontein, Noordheuvel, they really pumped them. So they're a good side as well, Hartsfontein. And they will say, hang on a second, you know, we did beat Stellenberg in the last minute in one of those festivals. But what's been cool about the schools this season, and it's now kind of break, we'll get to the Craven Weeks and then it tapers off in that second half of the season. Oaks have already played for the Craven Week side, and they're thinking about cricket, and they're thinking about the matric exams. But it hasn't been that predictable. You know, the top three are going to win every weekend, and it's going to be Gray winning probably 90% of the games, or him or Boisei.
Yeah.
There's been some really cool results, and also great to see the Durban, the KZN schools doing well. And I know you, everything's coming out, your DHS background, it's all coming out of you. You actually are like Gavin Reach. You are a Sharky at heart. I know you work for the Stormers. You love the Lions, but deep down, come on, admit it.
Man, I've still got my Cannon Sharks jersey from back in the day. All that has to happen is Mark Andrews come back and start playing again, mate. I'll be
you
straight
mean Gavin
back.
Lawless.
There we go. Straight back on.
And we just have to go back to Super Rugby.
Straight back on. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to kind of add?
Mate, I just want to say that you remind me of Nosemore from Wreck-It Ralph. How you can remember all of those results just off the top of your head is absolutely insane. So, congratulations.
I appreciate that.
That really is impressive.
It's nice to see that you've done your homework. You said you were going to give us a little update on the Japanese League.
They didn't play this week, mate.
Yes! You're on top of your game. But we do know that Chess and Colby's been kicking tons of points. Eh?
Fantastic, mate.
And Ruan Nokia, one of my favorites, he's going to Japan as well. And then someone put a thing to say, Peter Steph Detoy, in the 5 years that he's been, or 4 years that he's been at Toyota Verblitz, he has played 38 games and he's played 37 tests. And I was like, what's the point? He's played more club games than he's played tests. And have you seen...
What's the problem?
You know, have you seen how they performed under Steve Hansen? Not particularly well. So if anything, Peter Steph just decided, mate, I'm not going to be part of a losing cause. And he's played three out of potential 28 games.
Yeah.
And kudos on him, because he'll be back. He'll be one of the superstars for the box, as will Eben Etzebeth, who played one game for the Sharks this season. And these guys understand it. They know that what matters is the 12 games we've got to play for the box, and they've got to go win us World Cups. So go easy on them. I've seen a lot of social media. Do these guys ever play? They only play when it matters. And what matters most, when we break it all down, as much as we love our clubs, what matters most is which school you went to, what the school's results on the Monday, and basically that the Springboks win. And when I look at the rumblings coming out of New Zealand, I'm more and more convinced that that winning run will continue. What do you think of what's coming out of New Zealand?
Oh, no, mate. They're in disarray. Lots of self-doubt has crept into their psyche. And we've talked about it ad nauseum on every episode, where they're going to find the answers, mate. Dave Rennie's got a lot on his shoulders, carrying the load. But like somebody pointed out, mate, they are pretty good, the All Blacks. It's not like they're 10th in the world rankings. They did pretty well at the last World Cup. So let's see what they come out with.
Oh, well, that's when you're the victim of your own success. Second in the world, they've won 3 World Cup titles. They got to a couple of finals. We've knocked them over. They fired a coach at 75%, and it's like, not good enough, mate. And they refuse to pick their best players, regardless that they're not in New Zealand. Even Kieran Reid was on our kind of... on our train, when he said, madness, Richie Mohanga, you're going to, when the Springboks play against the All Blacks in that opening test of rugby's greatest rivalry at Ellis Park, we're going to be tuning in the early hours of the morning, having watched Richie Mohanga play for Canterbury in a provincial game, to say he's abided by the rules. He said, you made the rules, change them.
Correct. No, spot on.
While the suits are still running rugby, it's chaos. It's chaos. We need strong ownership in rugby. We need to see the best players be playing for their clubs. Doesn't matter where in the world, but when it comes to test rugby, and South Africa finally got it right, and was one thing Russie and Jacques Nienaber, and we do wish Jacques well. We'll chat about him later in the week. Charge of Leinster in the Investec Champions Cup final. They said, we only take in this job if we get to pick the best players from all over the world. And obviously, there'd always be an emphasis on South African-based players. We were 7th in the world. We back-to-back world champions, rugby championship winners, back-to-back, British and Irish Lions series winners. And yes, we went to Dublin and destroyed Ireland as well, just in case you wanted to know. And the last time we played a test match, Wales got 0 and we got 73, and we sent 14 guys home before the game. Wales asked us, why didn't you send home 25?